Kalim, Perek Beis, Mishnah Dalad, 2-4, we continue to explore and explain the parameters of what makes a Kli Cheres Mekabel Tumah. The first case is the Panas. The modern Hebrew Panas is a flashlight. In the context of the Mishnah, which is where that word comes from, it's essentially like a lantern where it's a holder for, let's say, a candle or a lamp that has, you know, glass, oil, and a wick coming out of it. So the holder kind of provides a shield around the lamp so that, the, you know, like water or wind can't blow it out. But it itself essentially is like a glorified base with the handle. So really this is a kind of one step more advanced than the menorah platform, if you will, from the previous Mishnah. This is just like a platform on a handle. And really, again, if you can see a picture, it's so much better. So the point is, if it's simply just a platform with a handle and like a shield around it, so that's not going to be a Mekabel Tumah because there's no base kibbel, meaning that that panas, if you put, you know, marbles or water into it, it would kind of roll or flow on out. However, if it has like a rim around the bottom where essentially you could pour oil in directly instead of, you know, putting in like on our Shabbos candles, we have these like kind of glass candle holders. You can put like, you know, tea lights or whatever in, where you could pour oil directly into the container. So if you pour oil directly in and put a wick, you could use this essentially as the lamp itself. So since it has a base kibbel, if it has like a base kibbel at the bottom, that could hold in, you know, the oil. And if you put, you know, it doesn't flow out, just like the marbles wouldn't flow out. So then that is got a base kibbel, and therefore such a Kli Cheres would be Mekabel Tumah. That's the first part of the Mishnah. Inside it says, Panas Sheyesh Bo Base Kibbel Shemen Tameh. If you have this lantern where it has a place where you could actually store and hold the oil, then that thing is Mekabel Tumah. V'she'ein Bo Tahor. If it doesn't have such a place where you could store oil, and if you pour oil on the bottom, it would kind of flow out, then it's Tahor. It doesn't have a base kibbel, even though it holds like a stand, if you will, for the lamp. It's not good enough. The next case is the potter's wheel. Now, again, if you see a picture, it's so much better. In the Psukim and Yirmiyahu, these are referred to as the Avanayim, because there's two Avanim, two stones, like the wheel on top where the clay sits, and that's how you shape it. And there's like a, it's attached by like an axle to like a larger wheel on the bottom, which you spin with your foot to make it go fast. If you've ever done pottery, you know what I mean. But the point is we're focusing here on this potter's wheel. So the top part, which is the platform on which the clay goes. So if it's just perfectly flat, so then it's made out of, the whole thing's made out of clay. So it's not Mekabel Tumah, even though, of course, that's where you put the clay when you form it, when it's soft, and that's how it stays and holds there. It's just a platform, and there's no rim. So again, marbles on top, water on top would flow right off. Therefore, it's not Mekabel Tumah. However, if it has a rim around the edge of it on top, where you put the clay when you're kind of finishing it off, so let's say because you don't want the pot that you're working on to fall off the edge and crash and break. So that being the case, it all depends on if you have a rim around that top wheel of the potter's wheel where the clay goes. Picture be useful. The words of the mission say as follows. Magufas hayotzrim. The potter's wheel. I can't translate better than that. Shehu poseach ba. If it's like the stage one wheel you use where you're opening up the kli, like, you know, when you put the ball of clay on it and then you sort of stick your fingers in the middle to shape it into like a cup or a bowl or whatever it is. So there's no rim on the outside and therefore tahora, because there's no rim to have a base kibbel. But vashu gomer ba, but the same potter's wheel which you use to finish your kli, and therefore you've got, there's like a rim around the top of it so it shouldn't fall off easily, since that could hold something like marbles or whatever it is. And that's where you put your clay before you fired it. As you're finishing it up, it's Tameah. That potter's wheel would be Mekabel Tumah. Okay, the third and final case of this Mishnah is the Mashpech. A Mashpech is a funnel. A funnel is, you know, a device. You basically, it's open wide on the top and narrow on the hole in the bottom. So you can take it from a large container. Let's say you have a big barrel of honey and you want to pour it into, you know, a tiny little jar of a little jar. So you put the funnel and then you can pour lots of honey in the top big hole and it will like flow out of the little hole into the small jar. The question is that mashpech, that funnel Mekabel Tumah? Now, topologically, it's just like the previous cases we had when we had like a tube or a pipe, right? It's open on both sides. And therefore, a regular person who just, you know, pours his wine or oil or honey into the mashpech on top to use it as a funnel to go down to the bottom, it doesn't have a base kibbel, doesn't hold anything, and therefore it's not Mekabel Tumah. However, if you're a rochel, a traveling peddler, so you have a limited amount of stuff you can carry and with you, so you would have a dual purpose funnel in the case of permission anyways. It both serves as a funnel to pour out your wares into small containers to your, you know, customers, but also it's of an exact measurement, at least according to the first sheet here. It holds exactly, let's say, one lug, you know, whatever, half a liter. So when someone's coming to buy the honey from you, they say, I want to buy, you know, exactly 1/2 liter of honey or oil, whatever it is. So what the merchant would do is he would stick his finger on the bottom of the funnel, fill it up to the top. So now it's got a dual purpose. Now it's functioning as a measuring cup, essentially. And then he would take the finger away from the bottom and it'll all like flow into the container beneath. So since it has two functions, both as a funnel, which wouldn't be makabel tuma because it doesn't hold anything, it's got a hole in the bottom, but it also is a measuring cup where it does hold the liquid for a time. So it is going to be makabel tuma. Now, this is hard to understand because there's a hole in the bottom. It only works because your finger is there to block the hole. That's how it can store things. But the chiddush for Mishnah, it's of course a very big chiddush, is that that's how this kli is used. In other words, if you have a coffee cup with a hole in the bottom, it's not makabel tuma. Okay? The fact that you can put your finger in the bottom and drink coffee with a blocking of the hole doesn't change things because that's not how the cup works. That's not what you want. But when it comes to the funnel as a measuring cup, it's exactly what you want. In fact, better than like saving a cork, what would you want to have a cork at the bottom or something to block it up when you can simply use your finger? It's the most easy, comfortable, best way to do it. So it's designed specifically to hold the fluid with your finger at the bottom. That's the optimal use. So it's not broken. It's fixed when it has the hole in the bottom. To my mind, you could, if you say, wait a second, you need human involvement. It doesn't stand on its own. That's not considered a kli. So at least in my mind, this is kind of analogous, sort of analogous, say a flute. Flute's different, it's a metal object, it's the same thing. But the point is, a flute doesn't work if you blow into it unless you put your finger on the hole. Right? So kind of similar to that, this mashpech, yes, it doesn't work unless you put the finger on the bottom of the hole of the funnel, but that's the optimal way to use it. That's how you want to use it. And therefore, since this is designed to be a measuring cup, and when you use it properly, putting your finger in the right place, it does exactly measures you want, and it's there to hold the liquid. It has a base kibul and has a toch. So therefore, it is makabel tuma. So the Mishnah is going to say, if two guys, you know, go into the same hardware store, one is a itinerant peddler and one is just, you know, a regular balabais, they both buy identical earthenware funnels. The balabais is one, and the funnel happens to be, you know, exactly one. It's a measuring cup also. You could use a measuring cup because it holds exactly one lug. Nevertheless, when the householder buys it, so he just uses it as a funnel, and therefore it's not makabel tuma. It doesn't have a base kibul. But when the peddler purchases it, so then he has a dual purpose thing, a funnel and a measuring cup, and therefore, yes, because it's also a measuring cup, is makabel tuma. Okay, that's the gist of our mission. I might have overstated the case because presumably there'd be, but that's the idea, okay? Now, to the mission side, it's not quite the whole Mishnah, but the Mishnah says as follows, Mashpech shel bale batim, the funnel that's just used in everyone's home, which doesn't hold things, it's just a pass-through as to funnel things. Tahor, it's not makabel tuma because it has no base kibul. Vishel rochlin, but for the peddlers who travel from place to place, tame, it is tame. Why? Mipnei shehu shel mida, because it is of a specific size. So it's exactly, let's say, one lug or something, and it's used as a measuring cup. And the measuring cup function is why it's a mental liquid, and therefore it is susceptible to tuma. That's Zivir Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. Okay? Now, Rabbi Akiva is going to say something. He's not actually arguing with Yehuda ben Becerra. He's adding to his pshat. He's saying, yes, that's true. But the truth is, Rabbi Akiva, even if you buy a measuring cup that doesn't have an exact volume, I mean, it can't be used as a measuring cup, it's just a funnel, but still that funnel could still be considered to be a tamei, makabel tuma, in the context of a peddler, if it's shaped in such a way that it's sort of, if you turn it sideways, it can like have a puddle and hold things. If you turn the funnel on its side, it holds a liquid, because that's how the peddler would, you know, give samples out. Essentially, you know, he would pour some of that, whatever it is, the perfume or whatever it is, into the funnel. And then he would tilt it to its side. So then even without his finger blocking the hole, it like pools in the side and sort of offers it as a sample, says, here, potential customer, take a whiff of this or take a taste of this or whatever it is. So Rabbi Akiva says, even without the specific specific measuring size, it still could be considered a kli if it holds when you hold it at an angle. Okay? Says the Mishnah inside. Rabbi Akiva omer, mipnei shehu matehu al tzido, since the merchant tips it on its side, umeiriach bo lelokeach, and therefore he offers like a whiff of it to his purchaser. Okay, like I explained before. Now, so Rabbi Akiva holds if it is a measuring cup, it's for sure makabel tuma, but even if it isn't. According to Yudim Besera, that's not the case. If it doesn't work as a measuring cup and only as to offer someone else a smell, that won't be good enough because you have to tilt it on its side. And he holds, Rabbi Yudim Besera holds, when you hold it like in a normal way, straight up and down, if it can't hold stuff, then it's not makabel tuma, and it only holds stuff if it's relevant because it's a measuring cup. So that's why he would be, say, if it's not a specific volume for measuring, it's not makabel tuma. Halacha where falls Rabbi Akiva, so that would mean l'chora, if it's either a measuring device or just a sampling device that it belongs to a peddler who has a place, you know, to it can pull things inside the funnel, it's yes makabel tuma.